The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Camogie season about to get underway, and along with the LGFA, the intercounty scene, I guess that's the kind of elite end of things. But what we want to talk about over the next few minutes is not so much the other end of the spectrum, but let me start with the other end of the spectrum to put this in perspective. This isn't a conversation about me, but bear with me for a moment, because every Saturday morning, like lots of other people in this country, I spend my time out on the pitch, and at 9:30 in the morning, I've got 30 8-year-old girls running riot. And then an hour later, I switch to 30 10-year-old boys running riot. The sad reality is that much of those young lads are going to keep hurling right through their teenage years, many into adulthood. But the number will be a lot smaller for the girls. Much more of those girls, the group of 30 and their similar sized groups, are going to drop out. That's the reality. Certainly that's the reality as current trends go, unless things change. And with me to talk about why this is and what could be done to change it are Abigail Temple-Asoku, who is a intercounty footballer with Donegal. Abigail, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks a million.
No, you've got your first year exams, your final first year exam tomorrow. So you've taken time out of study to be here. So you can't blame us now if it doesn't go well. Anna Geary, the broadcaster, the former Cork captain, who presented that series. Lots of you would have watched as well, Why Girls Quit Sport on RTE television as well. Anna's with us too. Anna, it's good to talk to you. Abigail, would you have seen that dropout amongst your own peer group when you got to teenage?
Yeah, definitely. Whenever we, under 14s team had two teams, we had an A team and a B team, and we had loads of girls then. And then just as we got up to maybe 16, 17, 18, that's when we saw a big drop off in that group, and loads of them girls don't play anymore.
And why was that? I get, cause often, and I'll get into this a little with Anna, often the assumption is, you know, there's this kind of body consciousness and maybe a concern about appearance and how they look and all of that. That's the kind of prevailing narrative, and there's probably more to it actually than all of that. But what was the experience amongst your friends, say, who gave up?
Yeah, I guess people had loads of different reasons, but I think a big one was the commitment in school. Like, we had the Leaving Cert coming up obviously as well, but also girls just kind of lost the spark of it, just and like stopped enjoying playing the game, which is quite sad actually. But yeah, definitely school and the commitment was a big thing.
So time, it was just competing demands on your time.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's good. You also need that time for yourself, you know, to get away from the books and clear your head as well. There needs to be a good balance of it, but there's good and bad things to it, you know. So
yeah, what did you get out of it, out of playing right through the Leaving Cert, say?
Yeah, I did play right through the Leaving Cert. It made me enjoy going to football. It was a great break away from it. I thought, you know what, my study days were the days I wasn't training and stuff, and the days I was, I got my work done before training, and then the evening then was, I guess, my free time with football. It was a good way to clear my head and something to look forward to. And, you know, I would have saw my friends still studying whenever I was a trainer or whatever, but it still felt good to go out and clear your head. And then it's not like you're falling behind, like you make that time up in other places as well studying.
Anna, remind us, I mean, the outcome of the conversations you would have had for the documentary series as well. What was your takeaway in terms of why there's that precipitous decline in participation, or how complicated the picture is?
Yeah, I mean, Abigail sets it up really nicely there, because it's multifaceted. And I think when I went in to do the documentary, I had a presumption that it predominantly was to do with body image and it was to do with appearance. And I suppose personally, what I actually found was, yes, there is that element of, you know, in your teenage years when there's lots of things going on and menstruation and all those things that can be quite daunting for a teenager. But actually what superseded that, Kieran, was the environment that was created. So, and that's for, I mean, if you think about it, that's for any level, whether it is your under-8s team or it's all the way up to adult level. If there was an environment created by coaches, by parents, that was one where it was fundamentally about fun and enjoyment of training, it was one where people felt safe, included, where they didn't feel they were going to be embarrassed or singled out for making mistakes. If they felt they could try new things and make mistakes and it just, you know, would be part of the bigger picture, I actually found that the girls thrived. They loved coming to training, and because it was enjoyable as opposed to being feared and dreading it. There wasn't a sense of dread. And as I was talking to the girls, there's so many distractions nowadays. I mean, like I grew up in the world pre-social media. So that wasn't something that I had to think about when I was a teenager. You know, it wasn't. But I think now more than ever, we actually need a reason to get girls and boys off their phones. And, you know, listening to the girls back when we were recording the series, them talking about that idea of, you know, being afraid to make mistakes and not being good enough. That was something that came up a good, like, oh, I'm not the fit one. I'm not the sporty one. I'm not good enough. And I mean, this is generalizing, but teenage girls can kind of have a battle with their confidence and self-esteem as teenagers at the best of times. And that can kind of be a narrative that's in your head. And if that's being reinforced then by coaches constantly giving out you and parents constantly telling you you're not good enough on the way home in the car, or, you know, even the words that you can use, how many kids will walk through the front door of their house after a match and the first question that they'll get asked by their parents or whoever is with them is, did you win? And we're reinforcing the most important thing is, did you score? Instead of, did you have fun? Did you learn something new? And I know that might sound to people, oh, that's ridiculous. But it's not, because, I mean, you're talking to Abigail there and she's probably part of the 1% of the population, the high performance sport. The other 99 are playing it for social reasons, for enjoyment. And I think we lose sight of that sometimes when it comes to sport in Ireland,
which is probably
why the dropout rate happens.
And why do you think the same thing doesn't apply? Is this just a, again, we're dealing with sweeping generalizations, but you have to allow a little bit of that for the sake of conversation. Is it just that there's a difference between boys and girls at that age? Do you know that kind of more winning focus and the kind of machismo atmosphere, why doesn't it lead to a drop off in boys?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually, before I came on with you, I was having a look at Sport Ireland and they had this policy back in 2023 and it said that 1 in 5 girls between that kind of transition phase from primary school to post-primary, so we're not even talking teenage years here, we're talking 11, 12 year olds, that 1 in 5 girls will drop out of sport versus 1 in 20 boys. Now that's significantly different. So we have to start with the question, why is that happening? And I think resources is a big thing. I think respect is a big thing. Like, look at clubs across the country, like the access that girls get to clubs. And I know people might go, oh, but it's GAA versus Camogie and ladies football. And I'm just talking about GAA, but there's a whole multitude of sports out there. If you're being told or are feeling like you're second best or that you're not as good as your brother or your friend or your neighbour down the road because he's a boy and you're a girl, that can sometimes, you know, you're talking about the commitment and Abigail's talking about the commitment that's needed, you know, and a lot of people have to have that commitment to show up. But if you feel that like my time and my commitment isn't as good as theirs, that can infiltrate as well a good bit of the time. And when I was growing up, my brother and me were treated the exact same by my parents. Training, matches, everything. It wasn't that his games were more important than mine or vice versa. And like, I think that was really important for me and for him because we started to learn that we're both playing sport. And I think
were you brought to matches? Did you go to Camogie matches? I see. I wonder as well how much that's a factor. Again, we were doing some blocking drill with the girls and one of them was kind of standing miles away with one hand out. And I said something that I was kind of giving out to her. And I said, you know, you're not going to stand like that. You'll get clattered in the head, you know, if you play Camogie like that when you're older. And she looked at me and said, I'm not going to play Camogie when I'm older. Because I know I'm not going to name her, but she's probably never brought to see a Camogie match.
And see, that goes back to the visibility. And I suppose that's where we talk about then, like if we're talking about creating an environment that's enjoyable and it is about visibility. And I suppose then it's like, well, whose responsibility is it? And media have a massive part to play in that. And, you know, the government has a massive part to play in that, too, in terms of the policies we are creating. Like, I really think that when it comes to movement and exercise and, you know, physical activity, whatever you want to call it, it's about the culture that we create in Ireland around it. And often, unfortunately, from a teenage girl upwards into adulthood, we associate exercise with weight loss. And that's what you'd seen as. So it becomes a negative in your mind. It becomes something to dread. It's a form of punishment. How many people after the Easter eggs on Sunday were out doing the runs in the gym on the Monday to burn it off? We have to change the culture and redefine what success is like in Ireland when it comes to sport. And to me, it's not about the medals and the trophies. And that's a big thing for me to say, coming from an environment, I suppose, with Cork Camogie, where, you know, the focus was to win. But it's about retention. That's what we need to start switching our focus to from a mental health point of view, from a physical health, from a social health point of view. We really need to start taking a big look at this picture because we're in trouble. Like, I think if you give up sport as 11, 12, 13, 14 year old girl or boy, it is so much harder to get back into it as an adult.
Yeah, it is. It's very daunting to go back to it. Abigail, what would have made a difference to some of your pals who did drop out? What might have kept them going in it? You know, no Leaving Cert maybe to do one of them, but we can't scrap that, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd say just what Anna said as well, the enjoyment of it. Sometimes, even at club as well, like it got very competitive, the games, like even at underage level, it was more about winning as well sometimes. And even at different clubs, from talking to girls from Intercounty, it is about winning to some people, whereas girls just want to keep fit or just want to go out and have fun with their friends or just see them outside of school in that environment. But yeah, I think sometimes the enjoyment is lost in between winning as well.
And I guess a focus on winning, you described having kind of two teams at under 14 level. If the focus, and I'm not suggesting it was in your club, but if the focus is all about winning, suddenly if you're outside, if in your own mind, I'm not in the top 24 or 28 players here, you kind of start to think, I'm a bit kind of useless. I'm kind of, they don't need me. Yeah. Not only do they not need me, they don't really want me.
Yeah, you do get in your head a lot, even at Intercounty as well. You do. It does take it out of you mentally as well, but it's just important to remember why you're doing it in the first place. Why are you here? And not to get in your head as much about it.
Anna, how much of this then falls on, I mean, you know, this kind of cultural change we're talking about, but on individual clubs to have the right philosophy in place when it comes to coaching those teams? Because, you know, listen, we've all been there, and look, oh God, maybe I'll be there as well in a few years time. You start getting to like under 14 and there's talks of failures and things like this, and then you know certain coaches who maybe won under 16s and minors and all that want the same for their son or daughter, and you know, you can see how, it's not that they're bad people, but you can see how this mindset takes over.
Yeah, look, I mean, part of the documentary when I did it a few years ago was that I had to come in and take a group of girls that had either never played sport or had given up sport and train them. And I had to have a talk with myself, Kieran, as well, because I'm quite competitive and I like to win.
Oh, go away, you're not,
so
Anna.
I had to be, but I had to be like, hang on a second now, you can't, like, that's not what this is about. It's about them wanting to keep it up after they finished. And they were, I can tell you, they had far more of an impact on me than I had on them, because they really opened my eyes to what sport is meant to be about. And, you know, there's clubs up and down the length of this country, like in every sport, that, and people know them, that they mightn't necessarily bring home cups and trophies, because, you know, a lot of that is out of your control. It could be to do with numbers and you're playing bigger clubs and there's a dominant club in whatever sport. But if they have 23 or 24 kids coming through the gates in 2025 and in 2026, when the start of the season happens, that same group, the majority are walking back through the gates, that coach should be absolutely celebrated, because they are doing something right. If you're winning a trophy this year and you get half your team back next year, is that really success? And like, I think that's that, to me, I think we're losing sight of that, because we can put too much pressure on younger kids. I personally think from under 16 up, it's okay to inject a little bit of pressure and wanting to, you know, help kids improve. I think that's okay, because, I mean, as they get older, life, exams, going for interviews, all those things, they create pressure. And I actually think from sport gave me the skill set to deal with pressure, to deal with setbacks, to deal when interviews didn't go my way or exams didn't go my way. And actually, it's a really important skill to learn from sport. But from under 14 downwards, I think it has to be about that environment. And I really think that, even look at primary schools, like I don't understand how there isn't dedicated and designated PE teachers in primary schools. I think it's falling upon often teachers, one teacher in a school across all individual schools up and down the country, to take on the role of PE. And like, again, we're talking about cultural change. It has to start when kids are so young that, just like brushing your teeth in the morning, you know you brush your teeth because it's good for your, you know, for your health and for your teeth. Exercise has to, we have to create the same picture and narrative around exercise. And we're losing too many kids, I think, because it's not enjoyable.
Yeah. One listener says, I'm a parent of a 17-year-old girl who plays for a large club in Dublin. Lots and lots of positives, but there are problems. One is a lack of equity in terms of resources for the boys versus the girls, and two is nepotism. Hugely problematic in Gaelic games, including for girls. Coaches and long-standing members' kids get higher priority than the rest. Another listener says, when I was in primary school, the boys had a cup for the winning team in their hurling league. When the school received a donation for a flashy new cup, the battered old boys trophy became the hand-me-down trophy for the girls' rounders league. There just wasn't the same value placed on girls when it came to sport. So listen, it's an important conversation, one we'll have to continue on the show. Abigail, good luck on the exam tomorrow.
Thank you.
How's the injury? You were in a boot not too long ago.
Yeah, I was in a boot. No, I'm back now. I'm wearing a brace, but it's better than being in the boot at this point.
Right, okay. Well, listen, continued success as well.
Thank you very much.
On the football field. Abigail Temple, Asaku, who is fullback for Donegal when not in a boot or a brace, and Anna Geary, a broadcaster, former Cork captain, and her series Why Girls Quit Sport, available, I'm sure, on the RTE Player.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.